Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time when the trade wars are on and the problems are going on, and especially as they're attacking the farmers, we got to get out our expert, the goddess of grains, Angie Setzer, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. What's up, Angie?
Oh, not too much. I have my helmet on. I am prepared to wage battle, and so let's get rolling.
You know, I mean, what do you think of what's going on? Now, again, you know, I think the trade war, the tariffs, is a great idea. I think that it needs to be done, and I think it will actually, in time, will benefit everybody. But what are your thoughts?
Oh, I think the same. I mean, I think that it is, it's hard, okay? So it's one of those things where, you know, my number one job working with farmers is I always want to make sure that everything that I do or anything that I say I support is also supporting the farmer and the ag community in general. And so, you know, is there going to be or could there potentially be some short-term pain, you know, across some sectors in commodities or some sectors in the economy in general because of these moves? Yeah. But do I think it's something that's going to last or have an overall impact, you know, long term? Like, is this something that we could be talking about in a year or 2 years from now? You know, we probably could be talking about how we were so panicked when they were initially put in place or something like that. And we still don't know exactly what we're going to see. It could become an entirely non-issue, here in another couple weeks, even. Who knows? I mean, the reality is we have to, you know, in a certain stance, put our foot down. And I try to remind myself it's a lot like, you know, I champion for a balanced budget, and I'm always griping about how much the government spends. But then when it comes to cutting a program that may benefit me, I'm heck no, what are you doing? And so it's the same thing. You know, we've got to get perhaps a more even playing field. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm an expert when it comes to trade policy or trade deficits or surpluses or anything of that nature, because I'm really not. But I know that we have, I've talked to some very smart people who have told me that there's stuff that needs to be corrected, and I agree. And obviously the market right now, you know, may have had a bit of a knee-jerk reaction overnight, and may continue to have a bit of a knee-jerk reaction as a result, as you know, as we wrap up the week and go into next week. But you know, from an overall standpoint, this isn't new news. We'd expected it to happen, and so I have to question, you know, how much of it is really just a general sell-off simply because we went from fund short to fund long, and had some fundamental information, you know, the Argentinian drought and things like that, that has kind of played its way through the market. You know, it's easy and convenient to say that beans, you know, are down substantially because of the fear of trade wars. But is that the reality? Is that why sellers are actively selling this market? Or is it simply because they've played out their position and are looking to take some of their chips off the table? You know, I'll let you guys decide on that one.
Well, I mean, it could be any of those things. But again, first of all, we know the news. And I don't think that we're going to stop eating. This goes back to a supply and demand model anyways. I mean, I don't think that we can produce enough. I think that we're going to, you know, if population grows and everything else grows, we're going to continue to have needs. And, you know, I think this is a big bunch of hot air. I think it's just, it may be some short-term punishment and some short-term pain, But, you know, hopefully everybody's prepared for those things to happen because they can happen anytime. You know, when corn's $3, it's not such a good thing either. So it's just better that if we bite the bullet, because really what you're really doing is you're biting the bullet for the future and for your kids, your grandchildren, everybody else. And I think that would be more important, to take some short term pain instead of sitting here and continuing to repeat the same thing over and over again, which I think Albert Einstein calls insanity when it doesn't work. What do you think?
Right. No, I think that it's very true. I think that, you know, I struggle because you'll have certain groups and they're in the same situation I'm in. Right. Where they're paid. I'm not paid to represent a farmer, though, although I could, I guess. But these particular groups that are coming out and telling us all of the horrible things that could happen if we were to see some introductions of tariffs and things of that nature, you know, they're paid to be a defendant of the farmer. And so, of course, they're going to fight for the farmer's best interest. And in the short term, the farmer's best interest is basically, you know, doing whatever China wants to do when it comes to outside markets in order to kind of continue to have them to stay in their good graces and have them buy all of our agricultural goods. You know, the reality is I've been doing some interesting research as of late, and the population growth in China, India, and other developing countries, you know, coupled with the wealth growth that you're seeing in developing countries, will encourage more demand than we really know how to handle over the next decade. So I'm not saying we won't be able to handle it. We will. You know, we're definitely, I bet on farmers across the globe, especially North American farmers, that they have the ability to meet any and all expectations of them when it comes to producing a high quality available supply. And so that means a lot. You know, if you look at wealth growth and population growth and what that may mean for, you know, increases in global meat demand and increases in global demand of other food products, you'll see that from an overall standpoint, you know, like I said, this might be a short-term pinch, and hopefully, you know, it doesn't last overly long and it resolves some of these issues that we're seeing. And if it does, then it, you know, in a certain stance, you can say it's a win-win. But like you had said prior, you know, if you weren't prepared for something like this, then it, you know, as a farmer, it's somewhat of your own fault. You know what I mean? There was plenty of opportunity, and I don't want to come off like I'm victim shaming here or something of that nature, but you saw December 18 corn get within a nickel of last year's contract high for December 17. You know, it took a weather market to get December 17 corn to 417, and DEIS 18 corn 2 weeks ago was 412. You saw November soybeans create new contract highs at 10.40, almost 10.50. You saw wheat gain $1.50 very, very quietly, or $1.25 at least, very, very quietly, to where farmers had an opportunity to lock in $5 plus cash. You know, so there was opportunities to really protect yourself and gird your loins, to borrow a line from, you know, our dear friends in SNL, or even I think it might have been Joe Biden. But anyway, you know, you had these opportunities, you know, not to mention crop insurance, cheap put options at some point in time. You know, so there were plenty of ways to really protect yourself from this impending downturn. The only thing that I'm struggling with right now is what that may mean for cash basis come harvest. But that's my worry. You know, that's the basis is the difference between cash price and futures. It's where I make my money and how I find my margin when it comes to purchasing and selling grain. But that's my worry. If China hasn't decided that they want to come in and buy beans at that point in time, then harvest basis could be really, really poor. But I guess we'll see. I've got 7 months to figure that one out. And I'm not going to panic today over what, you know, I have to deal with tomorrow, I guess you could say.
Almost long enough to have another baby. I mean, come on, let's go.
Let's not say we did.
Anyway, so, I mean, again, there's a lot of things going on. And again, there's a lot of things that farmers and producers can be doing all the time to protect themselves. But in the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. And, of course, don't forget to download the show every day at libertytalk.fm. And, of course, it also includes the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And if you're not getting Bubba's Daily Update, ask Angie. It's a lot of fun, and it gives you a good insight to what happened in the markets on that day and what I expect to happen in the next day. And that's available to you for free. All you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com. and fill out the little form, and you get the update for free. No credit card, no nothing. All you do is just get to watch and see what I think of the markets that day and the day the following day, and give you a prediction to what I think is going to happen. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more from Angie after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, at Goddess of Grains on Twitter, and also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. So, Angie, you know, I know you saw Man Fox, and of course, I'm really ticked off about this spending bill, and I'm hoping that they shut down the government. I'm hoping that they stop, that President Trump vetoes it. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I agree entirely. I mean, I can feel my blood pressure rising automatically just talking about it. But you know what ticks me off more is that left wing. What is it? The left or right? It's the wing on the same bird or whatever that old line is. And that's what I feel right now. You know what I mean? You can't put together a 2,200 page bill loaded with new laws and new things of that nature. I mean, didn't we learn our lesson? Obviously, we haven't. But you know that 199A, that co-op insertion that we had into the tax bill at the end of last year, where it gave farmers a 20% gross income write-off for sales to co-ops. And that's it, you know, and everyone was like, oh, gosh, sorry, I guess we should have taken the time to read and understand what that would have meant. And here we are less than 3 months later, and we're going to pound through a 2,000 plus page bill loaded with all kinds of things that no one even knows what's in there. You know, I can imagine that it's a substantial pork. It's $1.3 trillion, right, of expenditures that we don't really need to spend, you know, and so I have some extreme frustration there. I mean, I am fully on board when it comes to improving our infrastructure. We need to, you know, our bridge and locks and highway system and things of that nature are in disrepair and are only going to get worse as time goes on. You know, so I'm open to looking at expenditures that actually have true value. And I mean true value in the sense that we're actually benefiting something, not like we've seen, you know, here a decade ago nearly, that, you know, it's almost like living in Brazil now where you have trillions of dollars and no one can tell us where they go. It seems to be it benefits, you know, your corporate cronyism, and you know we're talking about draining the swamp and all of these things, and the swamp is still full of gators, in my opinion. So yeah, I mean it's one of those where to me I think the bill itself is bunk. I don't think it's necessary to have a 2,000 page bill to figure out how to fund the government. I saw someone put somewhere that it's 28 years of the nation's corn crop, so at $3. You know, I think that's a pretty good comparison of looking at, you know, how much money we're looking to spend. And I am old enough to remember when the Republican Party was the party of balanced budgets and fighting debt, right? I mean, when did that change? And I definitely don't think that we as a nation voted them back into power to be hosed like this. Now, granted, I haven't read it. Maybe if there's a line item in there that states that I get a billion of the 1.3 trillion, and then I might change my tune, but I'm doubting it. You know, no one else has read it, so maybe there's an Angie Setzer clause somewhere in there. But I think it's ridiculous that that's what we're doing in the government now these days, and I think it's unnecessary, and I think we need to take a break. And if that means shutting the government down, then fine in the short term. And I say that with caution because I do have family members that are in the armed services, you know, so they do struggle. Simply because then there's some concern over what that may mean for them going forward. But, you know, the reality is we can't continue to fund unnecessary, bloated, wasteful pork projects that we're funding. You know, and you can't tell me that the $1.3 trillion and 2,200 pages of a bill isn't loaded with crap that we don't need.
Right, and they're going to, listen, I feel bad for the military as well, but they're going to get paid. It just say it may be delayed a little bit, and of course, that's always a problem and an issue, but at the end of the day, it's, again, this goes with that, it's better for the country if we finally have somebody who steps up and says, hey, this is enough, and we can't keep throwing money away. I mean, you realize how much $21 trillion is? You know, I did this example the other day, but I'm going to give it to you real quick. A million seconds is 11 days in time, okay?
Yeah.
A billion seconds is 33 years. Okay. So a trillion seconds is 33,000 years. Okay. So think about those numbers and how big they are. And this is not just, you know, this is not just Obama's administration. This is every administration in history, you know, going back to continue to add to the deficit. It's because these whiny little crybabies don't want to go to work and do what they're supposed to do, which is our fault for voting them in. Okay, but now it's time to change that now, and this is where I think Trump really is the best if he will step up. Now, I don't know if he's going to step up or not, but I'm certainly hoping he does, because to me, you've got to stop the spending because we've got a major debt bomb that affects everybody, and it's going to affect farmers just like it's going to affect anybody else. So even in the short term, if they don't do it, then it's going to affect them down the road, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And so that's one of my struggles is Trump did tweet that he's not going to sign the bill, you know, because of lack of funding for the wall and the abandonment of DACA and stuff like that. And that's great. But I would love to see him come in and put his foot down when it comes to, you know, lifetime health and insurance and these pensions that these guys are having and all of these things. I mean, it's obvious that there's something wrong in our government when when you have people who have never really held a private sector or any job for that matter, other than being a representative of the population throughout their life, that are worth millions upon millions of dollars. Like, how is that not an obvious, infected thumb? You know, how are we just sitting here allowing it to happen? And what frustrates me more than anything right now is that it's the same people that were screaming about what our debt looked like and how horrible it was when we, did the things that we did in 2008 and continued to each year, you know, funding the government and increasing our deficit and things of that nature and have done. I mean, I'm showing my lack of age here, but I mean, it was Ross Perot in the early 90s that came out and was screaming about where we were at when it came to government debt at that point in time. So we've been hollering about this now for 25 years plus. And we continue to ignore it. And where my frustration comes in is that, you know, government or politics has become so partisan driven now that it's okay because it's the right wing doing it. So I'm just going to sit down and shut up because they're obviously taking my best interest into consideration, blah, blah, blah. No, none of them are taking our best interest into consideration. They're putting our children in rears. You know, it's not even my child. It's my child's child's child. I mean, we're talking my great-grandchildren and beyond that are going to be dealing with crap and fallout from these type of expenditures. It's just so many things that are taking place right now that are so frustrating, and I don't know how you fix it other than, you know, making it very clear that, hey, we're not going to keep voting people in to office that don't have our best interest at heart. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, anyone will make a promise to get you to vote for them. So a lot of times you can assume that this person's going to step up. And once they get into Washington and run into the status quo, suddenly they've forgotten where their spine is, you know. So maybe it's term limits. Maybe we push for that. Maybe we push for a lot of things. I don't know. But I do know that what we're doing right now is not working, and it's definitely going to implode upon us sooner than later.
You do know, and you're right, and it's got to be term limits. It's got to be, you got to get the bums out, okay? That's the point. And we cannot continue to have idiots in Congress or in the Senate that, you know, we knew this. I could have told you this is going to happen. This happens every time. Every time they need a spending bill, it's the other party. Now, again, it doesn't have to be the left or the right, and I'm not picking a side here because in this particular case, it's the left, but last time it was the right, and they always put some stupid legislation in there that gives more money for garbage. And of course, I want to know, and we can answer this question when we come back, but why doesn't the government have to live on a budget like you and I do? Because if you and I did what they would do, we would be either in bankruptcy court or in jail. This is The Bubba Show, and I am with the goddess herself. I got a little fired up today, but that's always good. That's a good thing. Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. And this is The Bubba Show. make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. We're trying to get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. So I need your help. Get there and download and download. And of course, don't forget about our high school investing program. We're trying to continue to grow this. And we've got up to 400 high schools now, but we're trying to get to 40,000. But it takes capital. And after 7 years, I'm running out. So if you want to help out, go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. If you do that, I'll give you a free week of my advisory service and you can do a good deed. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back with more from Angie Setzer after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the goddess herself, Angie Setzer, the goddess of grains, also the vice president of grains at Citizens Elevator. Okay, Angie, so why doesn't the government have to live on a budget like you and I do? Because we'd be in bankruptcy court or in jail, but they're just out running around having a good time.
Right, because they don't have to explain to anyone. You know, it's a far complicated issue, right? And depending on who you talk to, they'll say it goes back to when we moved away from the gold standard or whatever it may be. And that's way above my pay grade. I'm just a broke down cash grain trader from Michigan. But the reality is that they don't have to live on a budget because they haven't been required to. They, you know, plain and simple. You know, if you give hand out candy to your lobbyists, and you hand out candy to your folks that are voting for you, and you do all of these things to show how great you are, you know, you're going to stay in power, and you're going to continue to gain that money that obviously is changing hands, you know, behind the scenes. Like I said before, how do you get rich and grow wealth when you're a politician? It's not supposed to be how it is. You know what I mean? You're supposed to be a servant to the people at that point in time. You're not supposed to have hundreds of thousands of dollars of income and lifetime health insurance and all of these things that they're getting. And so, you know, for them, the more that they hand out and the less that they're called to the table and made to show us why they're doing the things that they're doing or what they're actually spending their money on and things like that, you know, they're just able to kind of continue to go. And at this point in time, you know, it goes back to the last conversation we had when it comes to economic theories and what that may mean. And you know, everyone has different opinions on how everything can turn out here. And there's ways to, you know, eventually you run out, right? In your household, if you're so indebted that you can't manage to pay your bills, you know, you might be able to get another credit card to cover your minimum payments for a minute. But eventually everything comes to a stop, and you have to own up to what you're doing. And that's the biggest problem in government right now, is that there's no, you know, the checks and balances that were put in place, you know, when the country was founded, have disappeared. You know, someone posted that the other day, and I retweeted it on Twitter. It was really interesting to see, you know, we founded a country, you know, with the Constitution, and basically it was like 1% of the words used to found the country and the Constitution versus what we did to fund said country. You know, that's ridiculous. And we just allow people to continue to get away with it, especially if they're on, quote unquote, our side. And so I think that's my biggest struggle right now, is that the American public is just quietly, silently complicit in this sort of pillaging of our children's future, simply because as long as it's whoever is on their side that's doing it, it's okay. And I think that's the worst thing that we could be doing. And it's what I see, you know, almost daily right now. And no one's being held accountable. You know, it's almost like in 2018, accountability no longer exists, you know, from top to bottom.
Right. And that's one of the problems that I see, is that where is the accountability, and why is it that we can continue to do this when it's not normal? Okay. And it becomes a much bigger issue. And this is why, you know, again, you can blame it on anything you want. The bottom line is once you let the Federal Reserve in the business, and you allow them to start printing more money, you let them control the whole game. And that brings me to my next pissed off thing, which is, you know, cattle on feed. Now, why, you know, you and I talked about this last time, but why in the world would you release, you know, one of the most important reports for cattle farmers, right? For cattle and feeders. Why would you release that report when the markets are closed on a Friday afternoon going into a weekend? Just to give me the rationale behind a stupid ass report like that.
I have no rationale. It's the same thing as, I mean, at least the quarterly stocks and acreage report prospective plantings report will be released next Thursday at noon. So we have an hour or 11, excuse me. So we have 2 hours to trade it, you know, before an extended weekend. I mean, there is no rationale. I mean, to be honest, there's no rationale, in my opinion, when it comes to the cattle on feed report in general, because it's only pulling feedlots with over 1,000 head, right? So how many mom-and-pop facilities do you know of that are going to bring beef cattle to the market structure? You know, it's an old, antiquated system, and it's one that, you know, I don't know how you change it. I mean, there's a lot of issues that are going on right now when it comes to CME and the prices that are being established for commodities for farmers and you know, how they're capable of managing risk and things like that. I mean, we got the block trade conundrum, which I don't even want to, don't ask me any questions on that, because again, it's way above my pay grade. But you have all of these things that the CME and the USDA were supposed to bring about, you know, food security and transparency and things of that nature. And in many cases, they do just the opposite. So my only assumption when it comes down to it is it benefits people somehow, whether it's your packers, you know, on a Friday afternoon trying to catch guys, you know, panicking because perhaps the cattle on feed report was bearish or something like that. It benefits someone who has deep pockets and who has written a nice check to someone else somewhere along the line. And maybe I need to tighten my tinfoil hat, but you'll never convince me that it's any different than that.
Well, I mean, again, that's my point. Why there's no point to it. And all you're doing, all you're doing is putting yourself and putting everybody at risk, because the bottom line is most people don't understand how to trade numbers anyways. Okay. Most people panic and get emotional into these numbers to begin with. So why would you put out and let somebody fester? It would be like the equity markets, you know, dropping about, you know, why do the equity markets always have their biggest down days on a Monday? That's because you have all weekend to get nervous. And by the time we get here, everybody's got their finger on the sell button. Right? So to me, it's the same thing. It's just stupid that anybody, any agency could release a number this big with no liquidity into no market and let people sit on it for the whole weekend and ruin and destroy some people's weekends. I mean, listen, it's just dumb, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, like I said, obviously somewhere or someone along the line who is written a nice check to someone else is the one that's benefiting from this. And yeah, I think it's foolishness. I don't understand. I mean, I could see if you want to release it after the close on a Wednesday or something like that. Okay, great. You know, give people some time. But I don't see at the same point in time why you wouldn't just release it, you know, at 9 a.m. or noon or something of that nature in the middle of the week and let the market trade itself. I mean, like I said, the market's supposed to introduce transparency and the ability to determine pricing levels based on where, you know, certain fundamentals are falling. Technicals, of course, you can add into there and stuff like that. But doing something like that is not beneficial to the market or its folks that are dependent upon it to make their living.
Yeah, I mean, again, to me, I'm an anti, you know, and then you talked about, you know, releasing that report, you know, next week. Now, every other market, when that event occurs and there's like a holiday or whatever, what they do is they, they send that they change the release date a day in front of it or after it so that there's not a major issue. And to me, I just don't understand how we can possibly be that ignorant to not do that in these cases. To me, to give you guys an hour to trade, okay, a report is like going to create just major havoc. And to me, that's one of the reasons there's no longer pork bellies in the trade right now, because of things just like this, because there's too many funny things going on. What do you think about that?
No, I agree. There's too many funny things, and there's too many people involved in the market, that may not be involved to a certain extent. And I mean at ground level. And I'm not saying that because I don't want outside people in. Believe me, I'm not one of those folks that doesn't believe the speculators or have a role in the market, which I hear a lot from farmers. You know, with the markets being traded down and the funds are selling and things like that, you'll hear a lot of folks that will come out and say, you know, well, get these funds out of the market, you know, or something like that. Well, that's foolishness, because they have a role in the market too, just the same as what I do. You know, I'm a true hedger. You know, every bushel I buy, I sell on the board, and every bushel I sell to an end user, I buy back. I'm a true hedger. But there was a conversation the other day that I saw that I happened to be on the outside looking in. Someone had tagged me in it, that was basically claiming that farmers don't use the board, that there's no actual hedging that takes place in grain and soybeans and wheat and livestock and things like that. And it just showed me right then and there that some people are so smart, and I'm using air quotes, you know, about the things that they think they know, that they don't even realize that these markets is, you know, these markets specifically that I named, you know, your cattle, your hogs, your grains and soybeans and stuff like that, you know, they do have a true influence, and they are actively used as a risk management tool by farmers. And so I think sometimes we forget, because the farmer isn't one to come about and have a substantial amount of money to push and pull the market in a certain way. You know, that's your outside influence. And so I would say that anything that benefits your outside influence, like you said, you know, that funny business, you know, anytime that someone who has a great amount of money can figure out how to make things work to their advantage, they're able to do it. You know what I mean? They're capable of pushing and pulling and working in a way that may remove some of that transparency we've come to rely upon. And then
hold that transparency thought. This is Angie Setzer, the Goddess of Grains, Vice President of Grains at Citizens Elevator. This is the Bubba Show. We'll be back with more from Angie. After the break, the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, we're coming right back with more from the Goddess.
It's about time.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with the Goddess herself, Angie Setzer, the Goddess of Grains, also the Vice President of Grains at Citizens Elevator. All right, Angie, so we were talking about transparency, which there is none. It's supposed to be a free market, but isn't that one of the problems with not having a true free market? Because obviously with all the manipulation and all the crap going on around us, the markets are not truly free, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree. And I, like I said, I mean, I hate to be one of those people that comes out and is saying that, you know, the markets are not entirely free, but it's been something that you and I have discussed for quite, you know, quite some time. And it's not, it's, there's a significant difference. And so I always get really frustrated when I have my friends that are of a certain political leaning that will come out and tell me that, oh, well, obviously capitalism doesn't work, right? That'll be the, and it's like, no, you don't understand. This is not a free market system. This is not capitalism in the way it's supposed to be. This is crony capitalism. This has been, you know, something, like I said, you get enough money and you have enough smarts and you can corner an industry. I mean, we saw it start, you know, with the development of the United States, you know, plain and simple. You really saw it begin, you know, with the Rockefellers and all of these other people. And so it's one of those things that we've seen that, and we've seen a continuation of that taking place. And it's only gotten worse, because suddenly you discover that, greed and desire to really corner the system, whatever it may be, is taken over, and suddenly here we are. You know, we're in a situation where we're trying to pass a $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill, and we have reports that are supposed to generate and provide transparency of a market that are released after the market's closed, and, you know, all of these things that are taking place that are basically, you know, in a way, damaging to the very people that it was supposed to help. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not a free market anymore, unfortunately. And you know, you can, it's not about, you know, learning to capitalize on what the market's doing. It's almost about learning to survive in some situations for some folks.
And when you talk about, you know, the survival and the lack of free markets, I mean, again, if the markets like cryptocurrencies, and I know we're not trading those, but they're open 24 hours a day. You can trade them anytime you want. And there's nobody clouding your judgment as to, you know, you can get your judgment clouded on many things, but you can trade them whenever you want, and the market's the market, and that's it. Whereas that, we don't have that same advantage. All right, but let's get into some more important stuff now. Where are the grains going from here? All right, they've had a little bit of sell. We had a great rally, which you and I both are on top of. Okay, and now we're getting some pressure, which we've expected to see some selling. But now what? Where do we go?
You know, we've got that USDA report out next week. That's going to
another genius, another group of geniuses. Okay, go ahead.
Right, whether you want to believe it has importance or not, it is something that'll give us some direction. So, you know, to me, I think we see a continued pressure on soybeans simply just because of the fact that we have a 555 million bushel carryout. If we do end up with 92 million acres of beans planted, which I don't know, I think we see, I think we see acreage come in similar to where we were a year ago, but there is some talk out there. The market idea anyway is that you'll see an increase in bean acres versus last year. And if we do, you know, we are setting ourselves up for the potential of a 650, 700 million bushel soybean carryout. If we see the quote unquote trade war dialogue get more heated, then you could see some continued pressure on everything. But, you know, from an overall standpoint, we're basically midway on corn between the low and the high that we've seen established here over the last year. And so I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see us tread some water for a while. Same can be said in wheat. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't establish a trading range here and basically see a 10-20 cent back and forth sort of trade. Beans, I do think will find themselves subjected to more selling pressure. But at the same time, they have really seen a substantial downturn as well. And so I wouldn't be least surprised if we went a whole lot of nowhere for a while, because we're going to get that acreage outlook released next week. And then we have a whole month of talking about what weather's going to do, and really not get too concerned about what's going on with the actual planting until about Mother's Day. So we'll get that big report out, and then we'll be, you know, kind of hyper-focused on what's going on between the U.S. and China, what's going on in NAFTA, you know, any sort of RFS, RINs cap sort of developments that we see, you know, things like that. And without any major news story hitting the books, I think we just kind of trade sideways for a while, you know, until we get some sort of weather market developing, which could be sooner than later in wheat. You know, we'll have that crop tour sometime in April in the southern plains, but it'll take some time in corn, you know, simply because planting delays aren't really a thing anymore with the increase in technology that we've seen. And, you know, for the most part, we're going into the year. Yeah, we're still cool and wet right now, but that can change pretty quickly, you know, as we work through April.
Well, I think that this is the great one. This might be one of the greatest buying opportunities of a lifetime with all this pressure we're having here. I think that, you know, your risk is, you know, a little bit to the downside, but certainly your reward could be phenomenal. I think that we break back out to the upside. I thought we were going up anyways. You and I agreed on that. And I think we continue to go up. And I think that this is really more of a buying opportunity, because if it was really a disaster, then these markets would have got crushed and we would have gone back to the lows. And they did not do that. And they have no indication that they're going to do that anytime soon. What do you think about that?
No, I mean, I agree at this point in time. They're not in a big hurry. I mean, even, you know, where we're sitting as you and I talk right now, you've seen the markets come off their lows, even in the face of, you know, the reported, the China's going to to come back at us, you know, or whatever it may be. So, yeah, obviously the markets right now don't really feel that the tariff issue is one that will last, you know, long enough to where they're concerned. I think we're still trying to wrap our arms around what's going on with South American production. And it's pretty obvious that China can't completely abandon our bean supply simply because Brazil won't have the ability to provide, you know, all of the beans that they need to continue to push on. So, yeah, I mean, I struggle to say it's a buying opportunity in beans just because I look at the fundamentals of the supply and demand outlook that we have and feel that beans have, you know, beans are the only ones that haven't done what corn and wheat did, which is go beyond, you know, the low side of where they would have been. But I've been expecting beans to do that now for 2-3 years.
All right, well, let me just clear something up. When I said bullish, I really actually meant corn and wheat. I did not mean soybeans, but I'll clarify that so that everybody knows.
We're on the same page. Well, we are. We're on the same page then, because that, you know, corn and wheat to me, I think are great buying opportunities. Beans, you know, I wouldn't necessarily sell them even with someone else's money just because I'm a wimp. You know, I my job is to manage risk, not encourage it for myself. But if I were a farmer, I'd either be looking to sell cash or buying puts on soybeans. But with corn and wheat, you know, we're kind of just sitting waiting to see what the next leg brings once we work our way through the mess that we're in right now.
Yeah, no, the ranges are a lot smaller in corn and wheat, so they're easier to stomach if they're going against you. That and beans could be, I mean, beans could be $9 in a couple of days, and that would not feel very good. So I get that point, but I do like beans. You know, I mean, if I were going to trade them now, which I'm not, but if I were going to trade them now, I would trade them to the upside. But you know, certainly because they're just below my support of 10-20, so I would have not a problem. But again, I'm not trading; I'm not in them right now. But in the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, and of course, we've had our very special guest. The goddess herself, Angie Setzer. Thanks so much, as always, for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. I always enjoy it.
Well, we'll have you back again soon, especially when you get back from Fargo, so you can tell me what's going on. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, don't forget to download the show every single day at libertytalk.fm. It's something that, you know, you'll help us get to reach our goals. And, of course, don't forget Bubba's daily update, which is emailed to you every day after the close. And all you have to do is go to bubbatrading.com and you can fill out that little form, and it's free. No credit card, no nothing. All you do is get my report each and every day after the market close, which gives you a highlight of the day and what I'm looking for tomorrow. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Thanks for being here. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.